so important at this moment. I want to share with you the aspect of having encounters and experience with God. Now, in doing that, there always must be a Gethsemane before Calvary. There always must be a Gethsemane. We're going to talk about that. Prayer, intercession, intimacy with God. There always, I want this to dawn on you, always must be a Gethsemane. Gethsemane is the place that Jesus got it straight before he went to Calvary. So in the work we're doing, we must always have a Gethsemane before we try to start anything else. What benefit it is to have a Gethsemane? Well, you pressure beyond what you can handle. Pressure, in this work, your dependency must be upon God, upon Christ, upon the Holy Spirit. You're dealing with people, but you had to move beyond people to the presence of God. And so there are times, as leaders, you come under what you call flesh pressure. It's not really a pressure, it's a fake. But if you move over into the realm of the Spirit, it's no longer pressure. It becomes a promotive method of God. See, the pressure got to come before the bean can cook. The fire got to get hot enough. And so these Gethsemane experience, and we're going to look at Jesus in Matthew 26, where Jesus had that Gethsemane experience, he knew he was beyond his reach, beyond his ability. He recognized that I can't handle this. Now, all the while he thought he could handle it. He had the idea that what the Father had told him, and he was willing to obey what the Father said. But boy, when that thing got right there in his face, he was a man, you know. When it got right in his face, he needed an encounter. He needed an experience. You know, it was so much of an experience that he sweat. His sweat was like drops of blood. That thing was getting on the inside of him. If you don't have your Gethsemane, you're never going to go to Calvary. You're never going to die. You're always going to have, you're going to be selfish. You're going to have your self-will. You're going to have your self-will, because over in Gethsemane, what happened is, and which is so important, there's a surrendering to God's will. Leaders got to know that. There's a surrendering to God's will. There's a surrendering to whatever way you want to do it. Lord, I'm with you. Yes, sir. Right. And then it permit the Lord to carry you places you can't go yourself. Are you listening to me? Now, you can use this in your personal life. If you just listen to me, if you rewind the cord, there are times in your life that you needed a Gethsemane. You needed to go before God, sweat, and just trust, come to the point where you just trust him. And so God's will is so important. Look at, we're in Matthew 26, let's read that first. But God's will is so important in leadership, knowing how to surrender to God's will. Because if you don't, you're going to end up trying to do spiritual things in your own wisdom. I'll give you a scripture you write down. I think it's Ephesians 5:17. Says, be not wise in your own eyes, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then there is Philippians 2:13 that revealed to us that you really can't do God's will on your own. It's God at work in you doing his will and his good pleasure. So it's back to the word surrendering. Let me hear you, surrendering. Surrendering, and surrendering is not the easiest thing to do, because we got our IQs, we got our intellect, we got all these things we've worked for all these years. And so we got some things we've come to know, we're knowledgeable of some things, you know, and sometimes we think we can handle it. You can't handle this. This leadership you mean, you can't handle this. I don't care how much you know about computers. You cannot handle this. This is another level of action that you will have to become. Listen to me. You're going to have to become accurate in the spirit. You're going to have to become accurate in the spirit. And the only way to do that is to spend time in his presence, alone, you and him, talking it over and listening to what he tells you to do. See, because he ain't you to do it, but he's going to need you to surrender. Another word is yield. And sometimes the surrendering, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not easy. The yielding is not easy because you really think you know. You really think you know. You're reading scriptures to God. You imagine that? God got something for you to do, and you done took out your scripture. And this is the way it's supposed to be done. No, he's the author of the scripture. So he really, the bulk of the game is that I know I can't do it. I'm willing to surrender. And just think about how much hardship we've had trying to do it ourselves. Man, I've had some things I tried to do, and I fell flat on my face. I got up praying, though. I got up in Gethsemane. You know? Yeah, I went down the mountaintop, and it didn't work. I got up in Gethsemane. Lord, I just messed up. I climbed this mountain. I don't even know what to do. I get to the top. I need your help. You understand what I'm saying? And so this will keep your feeling from being hurt. This will keep you from being selfish. This will keep you from thinking somebody trying to misuse you when they're talking about discipline. This will do so much for us that we can walk together as a team or as one man, that there's only one person in charge, is God. He's just dealing with delegated authority. That's all we are, delegated authority, all right? So that surrendering factor, you know, before Jesus went to Calvary, the pressure came on. Demons. We got to deal with demons, you know. The demons started putting more pressure on him as if you do die, you're never going to get up again. You know, it's all like, almost like the serpent. Satan got in the serpent in the garden and told Eve. And look, Satan will watch you a long time. Y'all better hear me this morning. Satan will stalk you out. He'll just let you go that you think you got it. And he find you with no Gethsemane, he'll cut your head off. Leadership is a responsibility, but it's also an accountability. All right? So Satan got in that serpent because the serpent was the most beautiful animal. He moved different colors and went there to Eve and talked Eve out of her position. He told her, you know, God didn't mean that. And then you know this, you're going to know more than God. Matter of fact, you and him be sitting in the same level. You can share with him, talk with him. You tell him a few things, what he could do. He'll tell you, that's what happened. That's what happened. That's the way Satan works. Satan make you believe you're smarter than everybody else. Actually, you're a dummy, because real smart people depend on other people. No man is a holler, you know. So they have. So you got to have your prayer time. You got to have specific prayer time with specific targets and getting results. Gethsemane is the place where you plead your case. Gethsemane is the place where you make a demand on the power of God. Gethsemane is getting you ready to die to your own abilities. When Jesus was praying there, he said, Father, not my will. Let thine will be done. Now, you know some people can't handle it in Gethsemane. You know they went to sleep. The inner circle disciples, which must have been chosen for to be the inner circle, I have an inner circle that traveled with me. Out of the 12 men, I have four men that stay with me all the time, because they've earned that position in some way, or they have dedicated themselves to that position in some way, because I can flow with them, they don't bother me. Whatever I do, they know I'm aiming to do what right, you know. And then if they need to bump me a little bit and say, they'll ask me a question, they won't tell me, you didn't do that right. They'll ask me a question. When they ask that question, it trigger the Holy Ghost for me to get back in my place. So it's sort of like a covering with me. That's what I expect from the 12 here, that to be a covering. Any man or woman of God need a covering. You don't think you can handle the thing by yourself. You need people who love God, love you, and going to fight for you because they know the intention of your heart. Got it?
Yes,
so it is in Gethsemane that you pass the test. Okay? It's in Gethsemane where you take the pressure off you. Come on, get this now, because you're on pushing the life. See, your own personal life leader, Gethsemane. There's no Calvary without a Gethsemane. Please don't go to Calvary before you stop by Gethsemane. Calvary, you will die and not get up. Because when you go to Calvary, you better be totally surrendered to God. Are you following me? You see, we move from, if no Gethsemane, no Calvary, no resurrection, no ascension, no Pentecost, no power. And this is what leaders need to know. I mean, leaders need to know that. You need to know every time I stand up here, I never depend on myself. When I get in the sanctuary this morning, I just left Plainview, Texas. Never depend on myself. Never. Never. No, I ain't stupid. You see, the spirit world is a powerful world. Permitting God to release his will in your life and in the earth realm. That's what your Gethsemane is all about. That's what your prayer time is all about. Permitting God to release his will, good God Almighty, in your life in the earth realm. That's when you're in your prayer time, preparation time. Your Gethsemane is preparation time. It's preparation time to be totally submitted to God's will. Not my will, Jesus said, Lord, let thine will be done. Secondly, you can turn to Matthew 26. When you're in your Gethsemane, your prayer time, Jesus left a track record for us, didn't he? He did it right, you know that, huh? Yeah, he did it right. Jesus did it right. How many of y'all know that? Jesus did it right. Why you want to pick some other way then? Jesus did it right. Jesus did it through prayer. Watch and pray. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See? Watch and pray. Because, see, when you're watching and praying, you come out of the flesh into the spirit. Once you get in the spirit, you cannot be handled. Satan can't handle you. Situation can't handle you. People can't handle you. Once you get in the spirit, I'm talking about a real walk, a real interest, a real encounter, a real experience in the spirit with the Holy Spirit anointing you, engulfing you, taking you over, putting his hand on you, you cannot be handled. Otherwise, you're naked. We must know it. Otherwise, you're naked. Otherwise, you're no good to God. You're no good to yourself. You're no good to nobody else. Because you're an accident going somewhere to happen. Because you're walking in the spirit realm in the flesh. You're the most dangerous person on the face of the earth. You're a time bomb. You might explode any minute in flesh. So that's why you can't be letting your feeling being hurt. Getting your feeling hurt. Who told you to work with your feeling? We operating by what? Faith, right? Faith, feeling don't get hurt. Faith trusts God. No matter what nobody else do, nobody else say, faith say, I rely on God. And you're not going to get there unless you go to your Gethsemane. When you're in Gethsemane, and Gethsemane happened over and over again, when you're in Gethsemane, here's something, you're passing the test of all time. In other words, if you can pass the Gethsemane test, Calvary won't be no problem. You follow me? Because, let me use myself for an example. And you know, all my weakness, all my insufficiencies, all my inabilities. But Gethsemane make me different. I said, Gethsemane make me different. See, because I know I got to go to Gethsemane. I'll fail every test. So when I say Gethsemane, I want you to think synonymous prayer. I want you to think spending time before God. In spiritual leadership, you cannot function on your good deed. You cannot function on you're just a good person. You need the power, presence, permission of the Holy Spirit to operate on that level. Are you following me? The sentiment. Before Calvary. I don't even know I get to Calvary this morning. In Gethsemane, you're pursuing his permission to go forward. Take it to your personal life. You and your wife dealing with something, y'all got to, with your girls, and you got to make a decision. In Gethsemane, you're pursuing his permission to go forward. In other words, he's going to let out some divine details to you that not going to register in your senses and your brain. But by faith, you know, I go this direction. I go this route. I take this path. When I take that path that he gave me, and God don't give you a suggestion. No, God command you. You can't walk by suggestion with God. He's not suggestive. The subject matter with God is this fact: I'm in control. Every time you talk to God, God said, listen, we're going to talk about this thing, but I'm in control. Okay? And so you save yourself a lot of hardship, a lot of unnecessary pressure, a lot of unnecessary failure. I'm not about failing me. I fall sometimes and fail sometimes, but I'm not about it. It's not my MO. I want to win. And so this, what God is speaking of this morning about our leadership, will roll over into our personal life. Getting permission from God before you go forward. How many left too early? You thought you knew where you were going, didn't you? You got to go back to Gethsemane, though, if you really want to have success in what you're doing. See, this is Gethsemane, this thing in Gethsemane, man. I tell you, 26:36, Matthew 26:36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, set you here while I go and pray yonder. I got to find something. I can't go no further. Right here going to be my station. Right here is going to be where I get my fuel. Right here is going to be where I'm going to make the right decision. Right here, I'm losing it. You ever lost it? Yeah, you couldn't, something you couldn't handle? Yeah, to be honest, you lose it. I lose it. The smartest person you know lose it. But when you lose it, you ought to get it straight in your closet. Don't come out in the public with your lost self. Get in the closet and get it straight. Jesus was losing it, man. Jesus was losing it. Listen to what I'm saying. Jesus was losing it. He knew something was stronger than him coming. He was losing it. And he knew his disciples, if I'm losing, I know they're losing it. And so he took them with him and he said, watch and pray. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I can't say that too many times. Watch and pray, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what he's saying is, get in tune to the spirit, and you can handle this. I said, get in tune to the spirit, you can handle it. No, this what? Whatever. Whatever. What is a greater attack than Calvary? You're going to nail this man in his hand, juke him in his side, push. A crown was thrown down his skull. Everybody going to turn their back on him. It got lonely. Now, you have to understand, if you never get lonely, you ain't further enough in Gethsemane. You got too many friends. You got to get lonely sometime. Because the loneliness is a moment that you separate yourself. You have to recognize, I ain't got nobody but Jesus. I ain't got no wife, I ain't got no children, I ain't got no brothers, I ain't got no sisters, I don't have no favorite school teacher, I ain't got nobody. I ain't got nobody but Jesus. That's in your lonely moment. That's in the moment when nothing fit. No conversation fit, no word fit. You ever been there? Oh, man, come on. Nothing fit. You ever been in the closet and try to put some stuff on? Nothing. Act right. Everything look ugly. And you wore it the last time, it looked good, but right now it don't even mix up. So you got bed clothes all on the bed, all on the floor, just trying to find an outfit. Nothing fit. You been there? Have you been there? In Gethsemane, saying that, nothing fit, in Gethsemane is where you look in the mirror. And you find out you need to comb your hair. Or you need to wash your face. We're talking spiritual now. See, because I think that's a garment. Well, see, that's a garment you wear called the armor of God. You mess around, look in the mirror and find out you ain't got no truth on. You better stay there till some truth show up. Huh? You look in the mirror and you're going to jump up and you ain't got no ideal of what the part of the garment called righteousness is. And you're going to stand out talking about, thus said the Lord. Huh? Ain't nobody going to pay you no mind. Ain't nobody got no time for that deadness. You ain't talk to God. You don't have no power. You don't have no backup. I lack my backup, boy. Glory to God. Because I look at some of y'all faces. You go back home. Y'all just tired, just early, you know. And you ain't in the spirit yet. And you look at you and you're trying to teach you. You say, uh-huh. And you done hit about 19 high point power in the spirit. And you know, I don't understand you're trying to get this car running, you know. You're trying to say, yeah, I'm here. But good God Almighty, what are you so happy about? I better say it just like the Lord's Spirit give it to me. Oh, this comes to me in about 2 minutes. Pursuing his permission to go forward. That's going to serve you well in the days to come. Pursuing his permission to go forward. Sometimes we talk to everybody else, but we won't go to Gethsemane. Because we know Gethsemane is going to tell us the truth. So we don't want to go to Gethsemane because with our partner. Oh, that sounds like a good idea, man. I'll pray with you. No, you don't want that prayer partner there. Go to Gethsemane, and the Lord said, that don't worship quality. No, you ever talk to me about that no more. Now you're feeling hurt. He will hurt your feeling. Why he hurt your feeling? Because your feeling got to be hurt before you operate in faith. Your feeling will tell you it is faith, but it's not. It's a fake. All right? Now, whoa. In that moment in Gethsemane, where we see Jesus there, what he was doing is penetrating his way into heaven. That he could hear the voice of his Father giving him encouragement. I told you to do it. That's what he said. I told you to do it. I didn't expect for you to thread this wine press along. I'm still here. Then what happened when you do that, like you're looking at me this morning? Confidence. I have so much confidence up here this morning before you. I know y'all know the Bible. I know y'all, some of y'all might study more than me. But I have confidence because I penetrated my way into heaven all day yesterday and this morning. So I'm not on my own. What a joyous position to be in. What a joyous position to be in. I don't know if I told you, I'm going to go back over it again because I'm going to say it another way. You must know how to pass the pressure test. You must know how, because Satan will put pressure on you. Life will put pressure on you. The demands of the kingdom would put pressure on you. But you must know how to pass the pressure test. It's just a test. Yes, you go through some things, Shauna, you know, and you say, why me? It's just a test. It's just a pressure test for you to roll over from Shauna and roll over on Jesus and say, Lord, I can't make it if you don't do something about this. And leaders got to know that, man. We got to know this. We got to know that. There are going to be pressure tests, Brad. Pressure test, bam, hit you. You ain't prayed for that. That come out of nowhere, try to blindside you. But if you know how, you know how to shift. It's a good sentiment deal here. I'm going before the Father. Drop down before the Father. and say, Father, not my will, let thine will be done. Maybe I'm going the wrong way. Maybe I thought this was a divine idea, but I see you don't like it, and Satan's getting ahead of me. I want to talk with you so I can pass the pressure test. Anybody had to pass the pressure test before? You'll do better next time. In Gethsemane, what Jesus was doing, he was pleading his case by the law and principles of prayer. The highest law in the land, the highest spiritual law that exists is prayer. Prayer ruled all other laws. Good God Almighty, I feel the Holy Ghost. Prayer ruled all other laws. Prayer ruled the kingdom. Prayer ruled the demon world. Prayer ruled heaven. Prayer ruled angel. Prayer ruled the church. Prayer ruled the Holy Ghost. When you pray, the Holy Ghost become committed to you to see to it that you make it on the other side. Jesus did say we're going to the other side, right? He ain't saying about no storm, did he? No. But you know the storm will come, right? Because when they had that storm out on the sea, their word was, let's go to the other side. The master have spoken. So every word you get from God is a promise. So that was your tax. And some of us are track attacks. Because you're a track attack because you get afraid in the wrong way. You get afraid in the flesh. Now you need to have fear, but it's the fear of the Lord. You know what the fear of the Lord is? Is the fear that I won't believe him. In a moment when I can't handle it. So this prayer, man, this Gethsemane, that's why most people haven't gone to Calvary. That's why most people haven't denied themselves, took up their cross and followed Jesus. You know, they test Jesus, man said, man, I got a new wife. Jesus, I ain't got nothing to do with your new wife. We got some work to do. Man said, my daddy died. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Let's go. I had two of my men send me some sad excuse. One of them says, mama went to the hospital. I don't know if she went to the hospital on the day he's supposed to be with me. One time, man told another minister, that his daughter had got operated on. He's working for that minister. He said, my daughter got operated on. I got to go see about my daughter. And the man thought his daughter got operated on today or yesterday. She got operated on 2 weeks ago. People talk to you in riddles. You got to be able to discern. They say things and camouflage it, but it's really not the truth. See? You can't do that with God. Why? Where God look? On your heart. Man, God ain't looking at your mouth. God looking at your heart. You just talk, blah, 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 blah. God said, all right, bypass that mouth, because that mouth might say something. Let's see what's in their heart, because that's where that mouth coming from. All right, pleading your case, all right. And then amping yourself to God's purpose and plan. In Gethsemane, you amped it. Y'all not amped it. You got your own agenda, and you think this Leroy ministry, and I ain't working too hard. I'm just going to do a little bit. I'm going to get my own ministry. Man, you in ministry. Good God Almighty. If you be faithful over a few things, the Lord said, I'll make you rule over many. If you're faithful in another man's ministry, if you're not faithful in another man's ministry, what do you say? Who going to give you what? Your own. Nobody. Unless people give you, let people give you a ministry. Yeah, got a lot of guys out there. People give him a ministry. I think you should. All right, girl left you a few minutes. Talking about it's time for her to go. She ain't ready. She been with me 30 years, but she ain't ready much to go as a billy goat is ready to have a waltz dance with a supernatural being. But I just let her go. She told me. I didn't tell her, so I said, right. So the Gethsemane encounter and experience. I like what Jesus did here. Y'all know I'm on the road this morning, right? 26:36. Then coming Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful. Jesus? Yes. And very heavy. So it's all right. Sometimes you have a load. You follow me? Then said he unto them, "My soul." Now you all know something about soul. Five. My soul, my emotion, my reasoning, my memory, my imagination, and my will. It's getting heavy here. He says, "Exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." I mean, verse 38, "Tarry ye here." Now, know what he told him. Watch with me. That's what I'm asking you. Matter of fact, I'm going to name this subject this morning, "Watch with me." I need y'all. I need you, Zeno. I need you to watch with me. Yeah, I don't need you stabbing me in the back. I don't need you lagging. I don't need you getting so pushing on your agenda. I need you, when I be in a room with you, I need to know I can turn my back. Watch with me. Watch with me. Because Satan, you know, Satan, if Satan attack anybody, you better look up here. Changing people's lives with the word of God and breaking out this apostolic government. He don't lack it, but he can't do nothing about it because I'm in my Gethsemane. Do you have challenges? Do you have trials? Do you have tests? Absolutely. I will not buck around. I will not yield. So he said, "Watch, you know, watch." He said, "Watch me." I like that. "Watch with me." Verse 38. And he went a little farther. When I'm like this, I can't hardly read the Bible because everything's revelation. And he went a little farther. If you don't have somebody watching with you, you can't go no farther. The stagnation in the church is that people wasn't watching with those whom God ordained for to lead them. They're watching out for themselves. Watch with me. Go in your Gethsemane and have your eyes open with me so we both can see the same thing. Then I'm able to go forward because you got this, Carol. You got this. Watch what the Spirit of God says now. You know, I don't play no game. That's where your blessing lies. That's where your breakthrough lies, right there, fulfilling your assignment the Lord has given you in his vision. You're supposed to be, and the minister would argue with me about this, but they just arguing in vain because I already know. You who are leaders supposed to advance the congregation. In blessing, everything. You're supposed to be leader. You're supposed to be in a position that God can bless you more than he blessed a person just followed. So it's a privilege from God for you to be chosen to be sitting in this room. Everybody can't be in this room. Who gonna follow all those up in here? Some of them over there praying now. And they are important. My intercessors are important. I got to teach them more. I'm going to teach them some more things about intercession because it's so important. Oh, these girls who lead prayer. I got two of them in here. Two. How many? Two of them in here? Two. I know. I see two. How many? Three. How many? Four. So important. Got to praying this last night. I built me a gazebo in my yard, and the boy just finished it. And I dedicated it to prayer and study the word. I'm in there praying and calling intercessors by name and calling master bearers by name and life bearers and ushers. And everybody going to be tuning in today, Carol. I had boy, I said, God said they're going to be strong this morning. They're all anointed. They can hear from you. They're healthy and strong. And my goodness. I prayed for the parking lot attendants. I said, Lord, I went out on the parking lot in the spirit. And see, that's the way you got to do it. Sit down. I'm going to try to close. What time is it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I just solved, maybe I'm going to say, the Holy Ghost just solved, not me, just solved 98% of your problem. See, we're talking about your leadership, but we're talking about your house, too. Same thing. It worked the same way there. Huh? It worked the same way there. All right. Let me read a little bit more, and I'm going to give you a few more points. We're talking about me going further. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, I don't want to go here." Didn't get through. That didn't get through. If it had, we wouldn't be here. Wrong button. Every now and then you're praying, you push the wrong button. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he get to the word, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Now sometimes, including myself, sometimes it seems like my ideal is better than God. Then I won't roll my ideal off on God as if God told me that. And God said, "I didn't say that. You got these two ideas now. You got my idea and yours, and you're trying to counterfeit yours as mine. I didn't tell you to do that." I had to back many times. I said, "Lord, I got it. You right. I ain't going out there by myself. I ain't crazy. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do." And he comes to the disciples and finding them what? Verse 40. Huh? What are they doing?
Sleeping.
Let's see. P-R-A-Y. S-L-E-E-P. That's what he sound like. Pray, sleep. Did he tell me sleep or pray? Pray, sleep. If the devil ever catch you sleeping in Gethsemane, you're in trouble. He said unto Peter, "What? Could not you watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter," "that you enter not into temptation." Prayer have kept me out of temptation. "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Good God Almighty. All right, I got surrendering your will to God. I got Philippians 2:13, Ephesians 5:17. You got not my will. You got Luke 22:42, not my will, let your will be done. There must always be a Gethsemane before there's a Calvary. Calvary encounter and experience. You must die to self. Turn to Matthew 16:24 quickly. Die to self. If I can get this in you, I won't have to worry about you. I can turn my back on you. I could give you a sign. I call you and say, "I'm not going, but I want you to handle this for me. I know you're going to handle it right because the Spirit of God got a hold of you." My God, I can't hardly breathe. Hallelujah. I'm snorting like a horse, trying to catch my breath because this thing is so sweet. It's so sweet what the Lord doing this morning.
Yes, sir.
You're going to change. Here, Paul. If you open up your spirit, it's going to change your whole life just this very morning. There are moments in your life you're going to hear the word panic. No, you say, no, Gethsemane. Pressure, Gethsemane. Pour a little on you, Gethsemane. See? When you say Gethsemane, all you're saying is, it's time to pray. There's a Calvary up there. That's a cross waiting on me. See, always a cross waiting on you. Always some aspect in your life you have to die. But dying gonna be all right if you left Gethsemane. Dying call for another dimension of the spirit in your life. You're about to die, but you're about to hop into another dimension. You're about to pull off something, put something else on. You've got to go to a place that you can meet God face to face. And you and God having a conversation. And you know God in charge. You know he's your source. You know you don't have nothing to worry about. All hell have broke loose. But hell have no problem with you because you're walking in heaven. You see, you know that. You know that. You're in the fire, but the fire can't burn. Why? Because the false man have come in the fire and turned the air conditioner on. That's what that boy said. "No, we ain't going to bother no God. We know one God." Said, "Well, you're going in the fire. Well, call me in there. But the man, the king said, didn't I throw in 3 tied up, bound in chain? But now I see 4, what? Loose, walking around. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I imagine the king could count. He wouldn't be a king if he couldn't count. But his arithmetic got messed up when he messed with God. His fourth man. Oh, Brother Roberts used to preach that, the fourth man. Something about the fourth man. If you're by yourself, it's the second man. I always know the second man with me, you know. So if Carolyn and Montreal and I are going somewhere, I know the fourth man with us. What time is it? Good God Almighty. Then in Matthew 27:50, I touched on it in one of our experiences in the sanctuary. We had an encounter with God, and we're dealing with yielding up the ghost. See, the word will and yield is two powerful words. Another word, will, yield, submit, commitment, surrendering. All these words are available to turn you loose in another dimension. You have to surrender, you have to commit, you have to submit to God's will, and it will loose you into another dimension. It will loose you into a dimension of the Spirit. Got that? All right, Montreal, you can come close out. I'm not finished, but I got to quit. What time is it? And we got to go to church. We're already at church. We think, you see this? Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
And so let's make it more personal. You know, I see you watch with me, but actually the Lord want us to watch with him. We're his servant. He got heaven business on earth that cannot come unless somebody heavenly minded. Let somebody have respect for heaven. Let somebody, now watch what I'm going to say now. Somebody know how to get the heavens open.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You do. How you give me one way to Jesus, the name of Jesus. It opened heaven up every time. You say that name in faith, heaven comes with miracles, signs, wonders, just using that name. Imagine the authority we have. Well, at any given moment, in the car, on our job, at our business, we can open heaven up. Whew, man, now, yeah, we can be on the open heaven. You know how to trigger heaven. You know how to pull the right trigger to get heaven open. I've been around, I've been a few places and seen a few things and in this world, but it's nothing like knowing that any given moment I could pull a trigger and heaven come open. I could see Jacob's ladder. I could see angels going up, angels coming down, and see the Father standing at the top of the ladder saying, what you want, I'm about to send it to you. We probably talk about today, in a century, we talk about recognizing your partnership with the Holy Spirit. Recognize that he's your partner. And what are you there for? He's there to put you over. Pull you out. The partnership. It's so, the partnership with the Holy Spirit, you want to get acquainted with him. But you can't be shucking and jiving with the Holy Spirit. He don't play no game. He's a plumb gentleman, but he'll freeze on you.
Yes.
If you say something wrong, even in the midst of a sermon, I've been in the midst of a sermon and took the wrong phrase. He left. And he said, I'm not saying that no more. And I repent, and he came back. You got to know how to handle this in the Spirit. Father, we thank you so much this morning. You brought us together for such a time as this. We thank you for the harmony of the Spirit. We thank you for holiness, righteousness, sanctification, that the Spirit produced in our lives. We thank you for sanctified mind, sanctified will, or sanctified imagination, sanctified memory, sanctified reasoning, sanctified intellect, sanctified emotion and feeling. Be upon these leaders personally for their personal lives, their personal bodies, that there be healing in their bodies. Let give them new organ. I need them to stay long. I need them to live long. Give them new organ. Give them new reading on their blood pressure and glucose level and whatever else. Just give them new breathing. Give them what they need in all aspects, physically, spiritually, physically, financially, relationship-wise. Lord, just bless their house. Let them be at peace. Let them rest. When the enemy come, let them go in Gethsemane. Lord, put a Gethsemane in the rooms of their home that they'll know God in charge, the Holy Ghost in charge, Jesus in charge, the Word of God is in charge, the kingdom is in charge. I thank you for each one of them. You chose them, Lord. Now it's up to them to make right choices. You make wrong choices and mess up your choosing. So I pray that you anoint with the self-same spirit you have anointed me with. I release my spirit upon each person on the sound of my voice here this morning. As Moses laid his hand and spoke over the 70, I speak over these that they will know how to function and operate in my hunger and my thirst for you. And they will know how to be filled with the Spirit. And they will know how to flow in the Spirit. And they will know how to fight in the Spirit. And they will know how to finish in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right, Montreal. I need to go right to the pulpit and start preaching. You got it. Did this dismiss? Dismiss.